This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to the Escape Hour. It is a wonderful and kind of grey, crazy Melbourne day out there, and we are going today to be escaping to Thailand with our special guest, Pla Liamtong. How are you, Pla?
Hi, I'm well, Fiona. Thank you so much for having me today.
No worries. Now, I've known you now for quite a number of years.
Yep.
And you are always an advocate for beautiful and divine Thai food, but also the other way I know you is through good coffee.
Yep.
Now, we met at St. Ali.
Yes.
In South Melbourne. And since then, you launched with your lovely partner, David, who's sitting in the studio but won't chat as yet. You never know. We've still got an hour to get him on the show. You ran Middle Fish,
yes,
which was a very popular Thai restaurant in Carlton, recently closed due to the big fat meanie developers that pulled your building down.
Yes,
that must have been devastating after 5 years of work.
We're actually quite happy as well at the same time because, like, we can have a little break and go on with the traveling and really start thinking about what we like to do. Mm-hmm. And it's like when we start Middle Fish, we kind of don't really know what we were doing at the time. And a lot of Thai cuisine that we introduced to the market was actually unknown.
Right.
So we have a lot of try and error and, you know, try many ways of introduce some of the dishes that people not used to.
Well, that's, I think, what we want to talk about today. I mean, many things we're going to talk about today, but one of the things is going to be, we're going to talk about some of the Thai food that you don't see in Australia.
Yep.
So you will be opening the venue again in a new location in 2019.
Yes. Wow. That's very exciting.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, you do run another venue called Jing Jing.
Yes, that is in Dandenong South. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I actually used to live with David for a little bit down to southeast suburb, and at the time I was like, there's nothing around there to eat much,
right?
And when we have opportunity to open a Thai restaurant there, so we just take the challenge.
Wow. So it's, how different is it to Middle Fish?
How different? The venue actually is a smaller scale,
mm-hmm.
but we also focusing on a lot of home delivery and takeaway option for people around there. And but I think the core, the heart of Jing Jing still serving the Thai, traditional Thai food,
mm-hmm.
In Melbourne, in kind of Melbourne manner. And mm-hmm. there's still a lot of Thai cuisine that not actually very well known in Melbourne.
Okay.
So,
well,
yeah.
Maybe what we should do is lead in with that and find out what are some of the dishes that you're serving at Jing Jing, because some of our listeners might actually want to get down to Dandenong South and check it out.
Yes.
So what are some of those dishes, or if you live in the area, you might even be able to order it delivery?
Yes, definitely.
Those delivery services.
So, well, when I started Middle Fish back into 2011, I am actually from the south of Thailand, which is in the countryside, and my family has a farming background.
Right.
So when I came to Melbourne, and even I want to eat a real Thai home cooking food,
mm-hmm.
is the only way to find it is just cooking at home. So
wow.
when I open mm-hmm. up a restaurant, I kind of introduce certain Thailand cuisine mm-hmm. to the market, and some example of the dishes that we do at restaurant mm-hmm. is certain Thai curry.
Right. So how does a Southern Thai curry differ from a Northern Thai curry?
Northern Thai curry, because geographically, Thailand is quite different.
It's a
big different. In the up north, they have kind of mountain and high altitude. So the produce, like vegetable and thing like that, will be different from down south, mm-hmm. where we actually live by the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have two seasons down south, which is rainy season and hot season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So down south, we eat more spicy food, and we have a lot of Indian influence cuisine, whereas in the north of Thailand is a lot of Burmese influence, and there's no coconut milk.
There's no coconut milk.
No coconut milk.
Defining point, no coconut milk in
northern Thai cuisine. So if the curry will be like clear broth, but with a lot of spices.
Mm. I remember being in PP a number of years ago, actually quite a number of years ago now, and I had the most incredibly delicious dry curry with pippies or clams, small clams, and it came wrapped on the plate in tin foil.
Yes.
And it was incredible.
Yeah, you make me hungry now.
Yeah. It was an incredible dish because I hadn't had anything like it before.
Yep.
It was a dry curry.
Yep.
And the flavors were amazing.
Yep.
Now, unfortunately, I found that when I was holidaying in Thailand along some of the beach resorts, some of the food offerings were really quite disappointing.
Yep.
Now, maybe I'm just super fussy, but I found that, you know, it was very much catering to the tourists that were there, which was disappointing. And I found my favourite Thai food was at the night markets, where Thais were buying their food on their way home. And, you know, the incredible night market vibe that you find across Thailand is just that's incredibly exciting to me, rather than the food you find in some of the restaurants on some of the beach resorts.
Yes. So I would recommend, you know, if you travel through Thailand, the way to experience the real local food is a market.
Yeah.
And the market is a way of life. I mean, like in Thailand, even at the moment, people will still go to the market to shopping their produce and for cooking rather than going to supermarket. And and I would say,
and
this,
I hope that they keep that up a long time, because, you know, we could do with less supermarkets.
Yes. And then you can eat real food, and at the time you kind of support the farmer themselves as well. And I am obsessed with market. Even if I'm from the south, and if I go up to north, I will definitely go to the market every morning and the night market to find a real local food.
So do most villages have a morning market and a night market?
Yes. Night market actually become very popular in recent years I think the world has changed, has moved a lot, and our lifestyle has kind of changed as well. So now, rather than just have a morning market, we tend to have night market almost everywhere.
And is that so for convenience, because people are buying food which they can then take home and eat? I mean, I always love the little plastic bags filled with delicious goodies. And so it's for, you know, Thai families, so that they can get, it's like their takeaway food.
Yes.
But it's way better than takeaway food.
Yes. So like, there's a lot of choices in Thailand always. And if you walk through the market in Thailand, what one thing you can find is one store will actually only have one kind of food. Like if you go for pad Thai, will be only that shop will only sell pad Thai. Or if you go for a barbecue shop, that shop will sell only barbecue. And the way how you can find which shop is good and tastes good is you looking for the line for Thai people. In Thailand, you know, will be very common that people drive 3 hours just to have one meal.
Really?
Yes, and we just travel for food.
Wow.
And that's very common.
Well, I mean, I probably did realize, but the Thais travel that far for food.
Yes, they travel just for one restaurant, one cuisine, and just drive home.
Well, I've always wondered, you know, what makes the perfect pad Thai? Is pad Thai a national dish? Or is it really found mostly in one area?
I think pad Thai can find anywhere in Thailand, but we don't actually cook. This is the real fact of this.
Okay.
It's like we don't really cook pad Thai at home. So pad Thai will actually, you go to the market or you go into a restaurant to have pad Thai.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and the history of pad Thai is one of our prime minister many years ago, because at that year, we kind of don't have enough rice.
Right.
For population to eat.
Right.
So he kind of introduced a noodle, which is use a part of rice that you can't eat, and then make use that flour to make a flour for pad Thai noodle. And he kind of want to have a version of Thai noodle rather than Chinese or Vietnamese. So he introduced the pad Thai to Thailand, and I think that become a national dish of Thailand.
So the Thai noodle, how does it differ from the Chinese or the Malaysian or the Vietnamese noodles?
So I would say I'm not really known like what is the core for the Chinese noodle, but as my perception, I feel like Chinese noodle is like fresh noodle,
mm-hmm.
but for pad Thai, the noodle actually make it like a dry stick, and then we soak in the water and we actually stir fry that way. And I think what make a pad Thai really distinctive, the flavor, the balance of saltiness, sourness and sweet, which is all Thai dishes kind of have those flavor.
The balance of all three.
Of all three, yes.
Do you think in some restaurants, Thai restaurants in Australia, perhaps they make them a little bit too sweet? Is that something that you've seen in Thai cooking locally?
I would say so.
Yes,
I would say so. And I think, I mean, like, if we go to Thailand, pad Thai is actually, we will go to pad Thai restaurant. We not really go to Thai restaurant that sell everything else, including pad Thai. But they specialize in pad Thai.
Okay.
Yes, and if you want to search, it's popular pad Thai in each part of Thailand.
So in the south, where you're from, your family are farmers.
Yes.
What did they grow?
So my family actually grow palm and rubber, which is take many years to grow until you get to produce. But at the moment, I'm converting them to grow more on fruit and veggies.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And what are the fruit and vegetables of that area that they would be growing?
So I would be growing banana, coconut, and a lot of local vegetable, but I want to do it organic.
Okay.
Yes. Let's see how we go.
Okay.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
So, you know, Pla, we were just discussing, actually, I noticed that the Bangkok Pride March was cancelled in 2017 and 2018, of course, as part of marking a year-long mourning because your king very sadly passed away recently.
Yes, so he passed away last year, but his funeral will be on the 26th of October.
Mm-hmm.
So Bangkok now seems to be quieter than normal, but if you want to go to Bangkok, I think it's a time to enjoy bad, like not normal Bangkok, and it won't happen like this, you know, again, I would say. And in Bangkok right now, there will be no concert, no entertaining event, and no pub, and no like drinking. Although if you kind of party and you want to go to Thailand for partying, at the moment, maybe October is not a time, but if you want to go and experience all other things,
So you can still shop?
You can still shop, for sure.
Yeah, great. There's a lot of shopping in
and
Bangkok.
And still a lot of food, for sure.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so, you know, it could be, it's much more quiet because, I mean, I was going to talk about Bangkok. Bangkok really divides people. I mean, before I went to Thailand, people would tell me, they hated Bangkok. It was noisy. It was smelly. It was polluted. And I heard a rumor that when you ride the ferries that you shouldn't let the water splash your skin because it'll burn a hole in your skin. But I loved Bangkok. I really loved it. I stayed in an old area called Bungalampu.
Yes.
I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes.
Which is near relatively near the famously known to Australians, of course, Khosan Road.
Yes.
But it wasn't exactly of that area. But I loved the neighbourhood I stayed in.
Yes, definitely.
I loved riding the ferries. I love walking around and there's, you know, palaces and temples everywhere. I thought Bangkok was just fantastic. Do you think it gets a bad rap?
I think for me, I am from the countryside of Thailand. I love Bangkok. And every time I go, I still find, you know, Bangkok is very fascinating. It's got the old, it's got the new, it's got the river, it's got everything itself, the modern and the old. And I think it's one of the city on earth that very unique.
Very unique.
Yeah. You got temple. You can got a very high end stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, you can go and get a local night market and very basic stuff. And the riverside of Bangkok is really, really beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't understand why people were so down on the city.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station Joy 94.9.
About Thailand. What's a good time to visit now? Is that simply because it's quite a big city? It's a good time. It's a better time to go to Chiang Mai at a certain time of the year as opposed to in the south.
I would say right now, Thailand is kind of the country that you can go any season, even when it's like when you say rainy season and you know it's rain. But I and David just went to down south on the island called Lanta in Krabi, and it's extremely quiet. But I think that's the beauty of traveling at the low season or even it's rainy season, because I feel like in southern Thailand, even it's raining, but it's not raining all day.
Right.
You have a sunny part of the day and you still have rain. So if you want to go and chill and experience, you know, when you say touristy spot, but if you want to experience it, non-touristy spot, non-touristing with the touristy spot, you can go on the low season. And I just find out people on the island, they actually work 6 months and have 6 months off.
Fantastic.
How wonderful is that?
Clearly, when we haven't got this organised properly here in Melbourne.
Yes.
So you mentioned Krabi, which I have been to. And which island did you mention there?
So we went to Lanta.
Lanta.
Yes.
L-A-N-T-A.
L-A-N-T-A.
Yeah.
Yes, and Lanta is actually, you will find out it's different than Phuket, because a lot of main population will be Muslim, so you can still experience Thai culture in another perspective. And I think that kind of, even for me, it's kind of fun. Like usually we have a pork cracker, and now this time I actually have a beef cracker.
A beef cracker?
Yes. So it will be first time in my life that I eat this beef cracker. And I think the Muslim cuisine is actually very interesting and fascinating. And I like to try it myself.
So when you visit, you're going to some of these islands that, I mean, how do Thais travel in their own country? I mean, I know that there's an island that's quite close to Bangkok, which is very popular with Thais.
Yes.
But do Thais travel and visit all of these various different... Where do Thais holiday?
Where's Thai holiday in Thailand? I would say when it's like similar to Australia, holiday when it's a long weekend, people would travel a lot. But maybe the distance will be different. Like if it's a long weekend, they go further. Mm-hmm. But if it's a short weekend, they still go around like Bangkok. Mm-hmm. If you live in Bangkok, you go around Bangkok. Mm-hmm. Or if you leave, it would be 3-4 hours drive.
I did notice when I was in Thailand that they had prices for Thais and prices for Westerners.
Yes.
I noticed that on boats. Yep. It was like super cheap if you were Thai and super expensive.
Yep.
Well, let's not say super expensive, but it was like 10 cents and $10 was the difference.
Yes.
And I also noticed that when I was in Thailand, I enjoyed going into... I got a little tired of hanging out with the tourists for once. Well, I was in southern Thailand and we were in Krabi and we didn't get on the boat and go to some of the islands because it just felt a little touristy. So we stayed in some of the southern cities, smaller cities.
Yes.
And in some of those places, we couldn't find we couldn't find a lot of English language menus, for example. That's how we knew we were out of the tourist area.
Yes.
And the other thing that I discovered was ice in beer, which never experienced before. So I was sitting there and we ordered these big jugs of beer, and then the waitress came along and just without even asking just plonked all this ice into the beer. And first of all, we were like, whoa, 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 you can't do that. But then
And then did you try? Did you drink beer and ice?
We just drank it and we were like, actually, this is really good. So that was my first experience with ice in beer. And it was pretty good, actually, after the initial shock.
Yes, awesome. But I think the way that you actually discover it, like when there's no menu in English and things like that, so you can actually experience the real Thai food. And I would say the price is different in price between, you know, Western or how we call it. We call Westerner as Farang and Thai price, I think.
Farang?
Yeah, Farang. Then maybe it's good for you before you go. You just said it's like, you know, can I have Thai price, not Farang price?
Okay.
So just practicing like, no Farang price, just
so
Thai price.
If you ask for the Thai price, they might give it to you?
Yes, why not?
Wow.
I would say like ask first, just like not Farang price and Thai price, because I think Thai people generally, they're very kind. And if you ask, you will get it. And you, if you practice a few cultural things, it's like in Thailand, we don't really say please, but we will say the end of sentence, woman, we say ka. And then the guy, the male will say crap. I mean, like, if you say those words at the end of every sentence, you will get away with a lot of things. Because that shows the politeness. And like in English, we say please at the end of sentence when we want something. But if you say it, like if I ask for water, like can I have some water, ka, and then that show manner.
Okay.
And I think if you are practicing a few things, you will get almost everything you wanted in Thailand.
Okay, that sounds good. That's a great tip. And for guys, it's crab.
Crab, yes.
Wow.
It's like when women say, say hello, it's like, sawasdee ka. And the guy will say, sawasdee crab.
Fantastic.
And that's just a manner of things.
That's what we do here at the Escape Hour. We want to learn these tips and tricks about how to best enjoy when you travel.
Yes, and farang is a good word to learn, because even you go to the Thai restaurant, which is, and you just say no farang taste, it would be no farang, it would be Thai taste. And I think the dish they cook for you will be different. It's like when I go to the restaurant with David, every single time I have to say to them, just do Thai taste, no farang taste, because in Thai people perception, it's like farang can't eat spicy.
Okay.
It's like Westerner can't eat spicy, and they have to change because they're scared you guys can't eat it, or if something go wrong, they will get complained and they can't communicate. I think just a natural thing of human behavior that want to protect the mistake and thing like that. So if you practice like I want Thai flavor, not farang Thai.
Okay, and then don't complain when it comes and it's burning your mouth out.
It's like, and then you can say spicy, how spicy you want it.
So in the south, the food is more spicy.
More spicy, definitely.
And the main spices that are used?
Yes.
Tell me more about those.
The main spice that we use definitely would be chili, but again, chili would be different kind of chili again.
So what are the types of chilies that
you use? So the common chili that we use would be bird eye chili.
Oh, yeah,
and
they're hot.
They're really hard, and then the big, I find myself, I find like as bigger, actually get bigger, is get less spicy.
Yep.
So if you see small chilies, mean that chili is very spicy, and the green and the red will be more spicy than the green one because the green one is young chili.
And what do you combine those chilies with to increase and intensify the flavour?
It depends on what you cook. So if with curry, you will definitely use the small chili because you need it to be very spicy. But if you want to do stir fry, I use a big green chili.
Okay.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
the Escape Hour Thailand edition. Now, before we go further to discuss some of the elements of Thai cuisine, Pla is going to, well, I'm, and we're going to work on righting the wrong, and Pla is going to introduce the Thai song we're performing, because I have actually met this Thai artist, I believe, when she was here in Melbourne, because her partner was decorating and doing the interior design for your restaurant, Little Fish.
Yes. So, guys, I'm going to play the song sing by Prao Khanit Kun, which is who is my friend. And the song name is Missing You. But this Missing You is like a happy song. It's not a sad song. It's like missing you in a positive way.
Thanks, Pla. That was actually the Kylie Minogue of Thailand. Pla, what was her name again, please?
Her nickname is Prao and her full name is Khanit Kun. And she's been singing since she was 9 and still singing now.
Wow. And probably singing for a lot longer.
Yes, I would say so.
So you know, we were talking about Thai cuisine and what goes in with the chilies and the other components.
Yes.
And then that led us into, during the song break, into a whole other conversation about, you know, the food scene in Thailand and, you know, the cross-pollination between Thailand and Australian food scenes. So, you know, I guess we'll stick briefly with some of the ingredients that we talked about.
Yes.
And then continue on from there.
Yes. So if you want to cook Thai food, I think basic thing that you need to have at home, you have to have saltiness, have sweetness, and have sourness. And then the sourness you can do from anything, lemon, lime or tamarind, and then the sweetness, the sugar, any kind of sugar will do.
But it doesn't have to be the evil palm sugar.
No, like in my mom cooking, Southern Thai cooking, I would just do have raw sugar, that would do. And then the saltinate would be from fish sauce, soy, the fish sauce, and then like a chim paste or soy sauce. Soy sauce is kind of Chinese influence, but you can use those a lot for soup and stir fry. And I think that is a basic ingredient that you need to have at home. And another thing that probably handy to have is a kaffir lime leaf. So
I
if you buy a
lime.
Yeah, if you buy a bag from the market, just stick it in freezer, it lasts you forever.
When I came back from Thailand, I became slightly obsessed with kaffir lime.
Yes.
I bought a kaffir lime tree. I wanted to have it at my front lawn because I wanted kaffir lime in everything.
Yeah.
But then, of course, it got gall wasps, and then I tried to save it, and then eventually I had to cut it down to... It's a long, boring story about my kaffir. So,
so for me, if I live in Melbourne, I tend to buy a frozen one that import from Thailand because I feel like growing things, it depends on the weather, it depends on the soil, depends on the sunlight. So I find out even I buy the fresh one in Melbourne, it doesn't taste exactly as what I have at home.
Okay.
Whereas the frozen one is actually have that smell, have that fragrance, like exactly what I have in Thailand. It's for $2.50. You get a lot, and every time you use, do the same. So that is a little tip about where can you buy, a kaffir lime leaf. And I find out frozen products sometimes, like we have a bad perception of frozen food and things like that. I think sometimes even if you know what good in what form is actually not necessary at the bad one.
Okay. Well, that is a very good tip.
Yep.
So we were discussing, you know, we have a lot of fabulous Thai food here in Australia.
Yep.
There's always been a perception that the Thai food, well, my perception has been that the Thai food in Melbourne has been not as good as the Thai food in Sydney.
Yep.
Is that still the case? And why do you think that? Is there just a bigger Thai community in Sydney?
Yeah, I think that absolutely, you know, the Thai community in Sydney is much bigger than Melbourne. So there's so many authentic Thai restaurants in Sydney. Even I and David, we travel to Sydney just sometimes for Thai food as well.
Wow.
And I think another element is because of Sydney is actually closer to the produce of Thai ingredient, which is from the north of Queensland.
Ah, okay.
And again, you know, it's like everything else is demand and supply. It's because of the bigger Thai community and Asian community in Sydney. So it would be a lot of demand on those veggie or fresh produce, whereas Melbourne have a little bit less. And I think that play a big part of it. But the thing is, I think Melbourne has changing and it's a lot more authentic Thai restaurant popping up.
Okay.
Would you like me to say, well, where would I go for Thai food?
I would love you. I think that we could do that. Do you have some favorite places for Thai food?
Yes, definitely. So I think I have many favorite of many that, like, you know, in Thailand, we have regional cuisine, north, south, northeast, and middle part, like Bangkok style. So I would say, okay, let's start with number one, with Southern Thai cuisine, because every time I am hungry and I would need home food, and I will go on Smith Street, has a restaurant called Mamani.
Mamanee.
Yeah, M-A-M-A and then N-E-E. Mm. So you can absolutely go there for a real Southern Thai cuisine.
Fantastic.
And it's run by a small team. The lady who cooking there, been cooking forever. Mm. And they only two that cook. There's no other people cook. So okay. You will be definitely have a real food there. And for Northeast cuisine, I will go to Tom Tun, which is on the beginning of Victoria Street.
Right.
Yes. So T-O-M. And then another word is T-O-O-N for Northern Thai cuisine, like som tam, like papaya salad and stuff like that.
Papaya salad.
So you definitely go there. And for me, the Thai cuisine that done by Westerner, I would give to Chin Chin.
You would?
I would give to Chin Chin. Now, Chin Chin is my favorite forever because I feel, I still remember since the first day I went to Chin Chin the first time, I can feel like, you know, the way that Ben doing the food, he actually do the real Thai.
Did you ever give him any tips? Because I know you've known Ben for a while.
I think Ben food as good as it is, but I would like to travel to Thailand with Ben.
I think that's a great idea.
I think
idea.
And then we can share a lot more common thing and thing like that.
And maybe we'll see if we can get Ben on the show.
Yes,
and
together.
Ben can talk about Thai food together.
Look, yeah, I think it's very good. And I'm very proud of Ben how he actually take the Thai food to the next level. And and I would say, I feel like with food, with Thai, sometimes you can't expect to be authentic all the time. I think you just, you know, creativity and enjoy the feeling and the moment, and I think it's good.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
The final minutes of Talking Thailand here on the Escape Hour with Pla and David, who has not been talking but has been chipping in the ad breaks with a few things that we need to keep in mind. So there are lots of amazing places to eat in Melbourne and experience Thai food, and thanks for those fantastic tips. I know I recently went to Long Gym for dinner with my partner because he mentioned that he wanted to have something hot and spicy. So we went to Long Gym and spicy it was, which was really great. David Thompson's done some fantastic things for Thai food.
And yes,
we mentioned before about how there is a really strong cross-cultural mix between chefs in Melbourne and Australian chefs, shall we say, going to and from, and Thai chefs coming to Melbourne. How is that happening?
I think the Melbourne has become like a world capital of food and coffee. So it's very hot now for Thai people actually to travel to Melbourne just to work in the coffee shop or to work in a good restaurant, because then when they go back to their home, they actually have a good profile of cooking experience or as a barista experience. And I think Melbourne has become top of the list for Thai people.
We will see an increase in Thai restaurant and Thai dining experiences here in Melbourne.
Yes.
And perhaps more of the parts of the Thai cuisine that we don't see here very often.
Yes.
And you also mentioned it was a young Thai barista who's won the world championship latte art recently.
Yes, recently. And his cafe is called Ristretto in Chiang Mai. So if you want a good Melbourne coffee, travel to Chiang Mai and there's like a really good coffee.
Okay. That's one of the things that we did not even touch on. That is Chiang Mai. I think we're going to save that for another episode.
Yes.
Because, you know, Chiang Mai is a whole story on its own, and I know that you travel there frequently. So I think we will have to stay tuned in a couple of months. We'll have you back on to talk all things about Chiang Mai.
Yep.
Great coffee. You say it's like a little Melbourne up
there. Yes, like a little Melbourne. Food, art, nature, and a lot of food.
That does sound fantastic. Well, we are looking forward to that. There was so many other things that we were going to talk about, but we didn't get to. So it's probably a good thing that Tad and Russ weren't here, because then we would have only got half the conversation. Thanks so much, Pla, for coming. Thanks, David. Thanks, Andy, for panelling. And we will look forward to speaking to you, everyone, next week.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.